So the topic tonight is a little bit continuation I gave a share today on vegetarianism, being a vegetarian. So I figured chance to go through some of the sources inside, but still with the question, etc., and see, understand it. So I'm not coming at it from a halachic question, I'm coming at it more from someone from the Hashkava question. There is a beautiful mimer from Rav Kook, Zatzal, about it's called Chazon HaTzimchonot. It's a beautiful piece. I mean, his writing in general is he has beautiful Lashon. So I have some of that in here also. We'll see. Maybe we can understand a little bit of his position. And then by about 1:30 in the morning or so, we should be able to. Okay. Let's start with the Ramban. The starting point of this discussion is we know that in this week's parsha, Noah is told that he's allowed to eat the same way Adam was able to eat from the vegetation. He's allowed to eat from the animals as well. So the Ramban, by Adam, in the Sadukim, it's called Esav Zerei Zera. So the first part he quotes Rashi. Adam and Chava were not permitted to kill any living creature and eat its basar. So man and beast would eat together the yerek esev, the vegetation. And then eventually meat was permitted to Bnei Noach. Shenemar So all of these creatures which are alive, I give them to you like the Yerek Esev. So what does it mean like Yerek Esev? Yerek Esev shehitarti l'adam rishon nitat l'chem eskol l'shon rash. So that which I permitted for all the rishon, just Yerek Esev, for you Noach, I permitted the everything else as well. Okay. Loshen Rashi came, Pirsha Rab, and we said the Sanhedrin. Rashi lands over there in the Gemara Sanhedrin as well. Chochayas Oretz, Lachayus Nasati Esav, and Mesilonis, Veskol Yerek Esav Lachlo. So the for man and beast, they've given the same thing to eat. In Cain, Kachia Pirish, Eskol Yerek Esav Lachlo, Veskol Yerek Esav. So the pasuk which has both points over here, the lashon of eschol yerek esav is the word ves, because in other words he adds above. Vinyas alulchem eschol yerek esav eschol esav zareh zera. Which is the beginning of the pasuk, and then the pasuk continues and says, "Stand the pasuk." Eskol yarek esav lachem lochlo. Right. So it says it doesn't say vav. The Ramban says, according to him, it would be according to Rashi, it would be with a vav as well. Okay. The Ramban said, disagree. So even by Adam Rishon, Rashi is learning that there was this total equality in regards to their food sources. Ramban disagrees with Avol Nosan LaAdam Alishter Kol Esav Zareya Zera Bechol Priho Eitz. So Adam was given Esav Zareya Zera, which means the vegetation which you would plant and cultivate, and Pri Eitz. They were given the vegetation. So the seeds, the man and Adam and Chava would eat the seeds, the zroyim and the kitnius. They would eat the seeds of the plants. They would eat the peris of the trees, and the vegetation, the eating the leaves, that was given to the animals and to the birds. So there was a differentiation even between Adam and the behemoth, the same way between Noach and the behemoth, there's a difference. So between Adam and the behemoth, there was a difference as well in what they were given to eat. they were not eating the same thing. But achabosel or hershaboy ad bnei royach kedasha b'seder. But meat autumn was not permitted to eat, and that was only permitted being that was permitted much later on by noach. This is pashup shot in the pasuk. V'hoya zeh. So what's the point behind this? Mibnei shabali nefesh atenua yesh lehem ksas maila benafshem. The animals which are able to move, as opposed to vegetation, which does something which has the ability, the level of life that they have ability to move, etc. They have some level of chashivas to them. And there's some way comparable to man, which has the bal nefesh, which has seichel. They have ability to make certain choices, which vegetation doesn't. Where you are is where you are, and that's it. You don't really get the ability to choose, and etc. But over here, they're able to. They have some level of choice over their life. And they're able to run away from tsar and misa. So therefore, in that sense, they function similar to man. So therefore, man was not allowed to give them tsar and misa, etc. Because of our miyudei ruch b'nei hodom ha'olah hilamala ruch b'hema ha'yeretz hilamata lohoritz. The pasuk says kahelis that ruach b'nei hodom goes lamala and ruach b'hema goes lamata lohoritz. But they share this idea of ruach. It's interesting that Chazal actually darshan it. B'nei hodom brings Chazal darshan. It's referring to the tzaddikim and rishoyim. It says Behem over here, it's talking about the nefesh of a Rosh, and after he dies, the neshama doesn't go up to the Shemaim, it just goes lamata. And the ruach of the Bnei Adam is referring to the tzaddikim, where their neshama goes lamala, but the Pshut Rosh HaMikra is referring to man and animal. Okay, so that's how the world started out. Kesher Chotu. But then they sinned. Hishkis Kolbosar is Dakar Eloritz. So the world is going to be wiped out by the Mabel. But Noach was the one, because Noach was a tzaddik, and he deserved to live. In order that Noach should have a world, the Russian was Mekayim of the Behemoth to be able to give Noach a world. So therefore it comes out that the animals did not continue. The reason why they're here wasn't because they have their own right to continue to exist. They were only here to provide for Noach. The Bereshit chose that Noach will live past this catastrophic event and the world will be recreated for him. And the animals are to be kept in the teva and brought out as a way that Noach should have these things. Therefore, if the only reason why they're here is for Noach, so Noach has the right to take advantage of them. The only reason why they're here is for him. So he's allowed to take benefit from them in all ways beyond what was there beforehand. But the they can't take the life source of the animal, therefore Mosalam Ever Minachai, and they can't take the dam, etc. Of the Dam Minachai. Then the Bereshit extended this mitzvah for Klai, so let's call dam, Neshum Maimid Lenefesh. So the dam is the source for nefesh. So Klai still has an issur of all dam. You can see the kinefesh kol basar damay benafshayhu. V'amar levan yisrael dam kol basar lo shechel kinefesh kol basar damay hi damahu. Ki hitzar aguf b'chai she'enu medaber achra misa lo ya nefesh atzma. The body is permitted to us, not the nefesh. Even after this heter, what's permitted to us is the body, not the nefesh. That's why there's an issur of Eber Menachai, and that's why there is an issur of Dam. And that's why the understanding of the concept of Shechita. Fine. So, according to Ramban, there's a question which you have to explain in the Ramban. The Ramban says like this. He says that when Adam was created, the world was created, the animals had apparently their independent right to exist. So man had no, Adam had no right to exploit the animal, because the animal has an independent right to exist, just like Adam has that right. So why should Adam have to take advantage of the behemoth? The whole world to be destroyed, including the animals. But the Roshim chose that Noach should be able to have a right to continue the world. And in order that Noach should have a world which has everything which he needs, the Roshim was Mekayim, the minim of the behemoths, in order to provide for Noach his needs. Therefore, they're only here for Noach. Therefore, Noach and his children are allowed to take advantage of the animal and eat the animal. And even so, they can't take the chai element of the animal. That's his. It's an interesting thought process, which means that animals during the time the original creation weren't there for Adam. Right? For Noach, the animals were he kiyumam is ba'avuroi. Okay, kiyumam ba'avuroi, so he has a right to exploit them and take advantage of them. Means that by Adam, that argument wasn't true, means the kiyumam was not ba'avuroi. Means the original state of the Bria wasn't ba'avur Adam. It's a very difficult piece to understand what the Ramban is saying. I mean, we understanding is Roshan didn't create the world because he liked lions and he just loved having lions frolic in the sun. Roshan created a world for man. The man should be there. Man should choose. The man should choose the right thing, etc. And he created a backdrop to live in with everything that's necessary for that backdrop. So it's not clear that step. What changed in the relationship between behemoth to Adam, from Adam and the behemoths to Noach and the behemoths is not clear. But whatever it is, seems to be there was some clear stepping up. You have to be Adam also, we understand, was Bavur Roy. But there was something, a clear stepping up of the relationship of being more subjugated by Noach, because Noach was they were fit to be destroyed, and they're only maintained to allow Noach to have a world. That's
but they weren't yishchisu before, so there's no wasn't quote unquote fair for Adam to take control over the animals, even if they were created for him. After that, they were mashchis, and then I agree with that.
Okay, maybe.
That was maybe the point that he was making with the yishchis kolbasar.
Okay, that's very possible. That's a good thought. Okay, now, go to the next page, Sarinyan. See, he says, I just want to explain the following. Shushimi says Sarinyan, usually it's difficult to say that we have a real understanding of what he's saying. Sarinyan means he's doing up here, Derek Kabbalah. So the animals were given their vegetation, man was given his items to eat. So the Ramban says that it's last week's parsha, but a lot of learners still. Right, so just so what are the 10 memoras? We know Basar Memoras Nivru Ha'olam. So let's do our math, okay? So Chazal said Bereishis was a mimer. So that's Bereishis is one. Vayar Malakim Yihyor, so that's number two. Fine. Vayomer Elokim Hirakia is number three. Vayomer Elokim Kavo Hamayim Mitachas Hashemayim Malkam Echad is number four. Vayomer Elokim Tachei Oretz Desha is number five. Vayomer Elokim Hirma Oretz Berkia Hashemayim is number six. Vayomer Elokim Yishu Tov Hamayim and Shares Number Shayov Oipiyah Feif, right? That's seven. Vayomer Elokim Tachei Oretz Nevesh Hayah is Lamino is eight. Then Vayomer Elokim Naase Adam is number nine. What's number ten? Okay, fair question. So the pasuk says, "Vayomlekim." So in okay. So the Ramban says that number 10 is the following: "Vayomlekim." This whole pasuk will etc. Okay, "Vayichein." What does "Vayichein" mean? And it was so. Right. It sounds like the Bereshit is everything is here, everything is created. The Bereshit says here, this is what you get to eat. What's and it was so. What does "and it was so" mean? He says the Bereshit was creating something at this moment, and therefore it came into being. He said something was not here a moment before. The Bereshit said his dibur, and now vayichein, it became so. And that's number 10. That's what the Ramban is saying right now. So what's this number 10? What is this vayichein? Remember, it comes to vayichein, ki hutiva min hagam. What the pasuk is saying is the Bereshit made that before this dibur, man cannot eat anything. It didn't. The body did not absorb it. The animal cannot eat anything. The body did not absorb it. It had no power to give the chiyus. The body did not. It was not able to take out the nutrients. The body was not able to do with it what it's supposed to do with it. His body was made as such. It was ready to go. But till the Rosham said that this is you. This is what you will eat. It didn't work. So his Rosham created the relationship between man and animal and the earth was created now in the last mimer. Okay, now it comes out that the Rosham did not give them man the ability to eat meat. He couldn't eat it. So now when he tells Noach that he could eat meat, there was an element of recreation taking place of that now man is able to eat meat. Because if I'm telling you that the man cannot eat meat, cannot eat anything until the Dibur, the mimer which was given over here, and that mimer made, and that mimer did not include eating meat. So like, how do you eat meat? The Bereshit had to make this sivui that it should be able to be something you could eat. But the relationship should be balanced, that the animal should not be eating, shouldn't be a two-way street. Okay. Okay, that's how I understand it. The morale says that this deeper this mimer is the tenth mimer. The place I remember the morale talks about it actually is in the Haggadah. He says that the ten makas were a form of going back to the ten mamorim of the world, the ten mamorim that the world was created with had become affected. They were used improperly, so they're going to be so not so Adam, the Bechor was taken away. You know, he works backwards. There is darkness because of Kenegan Yehiyar. So he goes through the ten of them, but he lists the ten. He says the ten of those. I remember, like I said, I never thought about what the number ten is. You know, it's like one of these questions, like, you know, where have I been for the last 30 years? You know, okay. That is the point that Ramban says. So the Ramban does not seem to be saying that there's anything negative about eating meat. This is the way the Bereshit made the world. At this point in time, the world that only exists, the Bereshit made a special relationship that it's possible to do this because they only exist bavur ha'adam. That's why they're here. Okay. The next piece I'm not going to do inside. It's an ikrim. It's a lot of words to do inside. He goes through a fascinating thought process of what did Kayin do wrong that Hashem did not accept Kayin's korban. Now, the Pasuk says the Bereshit accepted Hevel's korban and not Kayin's. Now, it wasn't like an either or. The Bereshit could have accepted both of them. It wasn't like, oh, he did better, he did worse, he wins, you know. The Bereshit could accept the kibbutz of both of them. What is the reason why the Bereshit did not chose not to accept Kayin's offering? and why, yes, Hevel's offering, and how that leads to the rest of the story, etc. So he says, when you live in a world where man can't, an animal eat the same thing, so Cain's conclusion is that man and animal are the same. A man has no right to take an animal and bring it as a korban, because man and animal are the same thing. So therefore, all I can do is take vegetation. So he takes vegetation, he gives vegetation as his korban. The Rebbe says, you got the world wrong. That's your thought process. I never said that man and animal are the same. That man doesn't have a right to, in his service of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, take the animal which is there for to serve man and bring it as a korban. You're misunderstanding the relationship between man and animal. The result is going to be, he says, so Cain, even after Hashem did not accept this korban, was confused. He says, apparently you're allowed to give the lives of animals, take lives of animals. So I can kill a Hevel also, because man and animal are the same thing. You see, the Hashem accepted his korban, so apparently there's nothing wrong with killing animals, there's nothing wrong with killing man either. And that was his conclusion. It wasn't like, oh, let's separate the status of man and animal. His conclusion was, everything is after. Yeah, everything is okay. So you can't eat it? I don't know, you can't eat it. Kerbanos, other purposes? Isn't they? So Hevel's in the way? No more Hevel, right? That's how I'm saying over Bekitzer, the page and a half of this mimer over here. It says, but even Hevel, he points out, still did not get. It says Hevel Hevi Gamhu, which means Hevel also misunderstood the relationship. Sheth was the one who got it right. That man is a whole different type of existence than that. At the end of the whole piece, he says like this. So it's on the third page of the
Hevel's misunderstanding.
He argues that. So Cain was over the Adama. It means he didn't see that there's any purpose in being involved in animals, because animals are not here to serve us. So the only thing is about what we eat, and that's what it's about. So it means the focus at the end of the day is about what we eat. It says, he also, his understanding of the purpose of animals was a way to give us our needs. But it was all focusing on a physical element. Okay. Now, on the third page, she says, "Okay, so what happened, my noyach?" So the hevels of the kinds of the world were not learning the lesson. The hevels of the world were not learning the lesson either. And the world was a mess. It was so. Hashem finally said, "You know, we're removing everybody." Kesher Nimochu Kulam. So it's about those 10 lines on the top, on the page 234. Nishor Ach Noyach Rashi Tova Tevo. So after this all is said and done, Rosh Hashem Yisbarach L'Shar Zeh Adas U'Lakir Seminov. Hashem says, "I'm not." Starting over again with the same mess. We're going to get this straight this time. Okay? Kishriyot Noach min ha-tevo, he give korban l'Hashem, min ha-bali chai, mi-daitoi, the ki ha-odam yeshu yisun, karach sikhli, l'hakar v'lava, l'bari, yersim mehem, l'hodas Hashem, all that. See, his korban was not the same korban as the korban of Hevel. Hevel's korban was, we would almost picture it as the same way that they have this idea, you take, you know, the belly of an Azora type of a thing that they take of their, and they give it to the god, and that makes it more fertile, etc. But the bottom line is about this world. Noach had a whole different. He brought a korban. There's a reich and reich l'Hashem. It's a whole different process. So Noach's korban has nothing to do with Hevel. It's a different. It's an understanding that a human being is yisun kach sikli lahakar lava the bury yersim mehem. And Lohadas Hashem was that. Makeni is kavu b'kavona baratzen. V'yoch Hashem is reichen. Nichoyach fine. Bishachosh is zeh adas. Yimoy yisukan efshash yitu the das hevel. But it's not too far from there to Hevel's world, where you take advantage of the world. You can use it for yourself, not for Avodas Hashem. Yashub ben Noyach, Shemashi Kibbutz Hashem is Baruch Karban Aviyim, Haya Kamashi Kibbutz Karban Hevel, Yashub Kukulam Rishon. So the children will think that it was that they would understand the elevated level of Noyach, their forebear, and they're going to misunderstand it and say, "Well, it's a Hevel type of approach." And we're back to Hevels. Okay, and Akar Korban Miyad Mir Lahatulam Achilas Abalikai Harigosim. So immediately he told them that it's not that you are a totally different being than an animal. Animals, you're allowed to shech the animal, you're allowed to kill the animal, you're allowed to eat the animal, you're different than an animal. Don't say about the, you know, it's all about taking from the resources of the world. That's what animals do. You're not an animal. So they needed to have that to get that message. Okay, now. But it means it comes out this heter was, as it were, a concession to the problem that there is human beings are not going to understand what they're about. Therefore, the Russian had to be Mater Busser to correct the misunderstanding. Therefore, he says, when the Torah was given, which has the full message, certain animals were taken off the table, literally. Okay. Really, the Russian should have taken everything away, but he recognized that that's not where we need a shaykhid. Like if fast tire. And the Chazal say that the person should not eat it on a regular basis. We don't need meat. It's not like food which we require. It's something else. Mizrahi recalls that. Four lines from the bottom. Or the end of the bracket. Kikvar efshe shiyya hadavar ha'echon mutar achash shenesar v'osar achash shehutar kar efshe shenar v'shevoyu b'tar z'lekis d'var m'yimashal chisurin z'man. Things could change. So that was the question which he was dealing with, his philosophical question of, is the Torah is immortal, that doesn't mean that there can't be elements of the Torah which change, addressing certain realities which need to be addressed. That's the point they wanted to say. It's an interesting point. So he seems to be inclined that this is not a great thing that we meet, but this is, we need this as a, now, that doesn't mean that a person should become a vegetarian. Because this problem that you misinterpret what it's all about is still there. Right? It's just saying that this is a concession to our frailty. And yes, and if you think you're not frail, you're fooling yourself, and you will end up not having the lesson that you need to have. Right? He didn't say that. He does recognize that this is not the optimal state of being. Okay. The Or HaChaim says it a little bit differently than the way the Ramban says it. That's a short piece over here. Why did Noach get the heter? So we know that the concept that that which is yours you get to keep. So how are the animals hit? Without man existing, the Russian would destroy the whole world. So the reason why anything exists is because of Adam, because of Noach. So it comes out they only exist because of him, so he has a right to them. And Chazal say that, and we know, beloved memory, you give a circle. So if you work, you get. And then he gave the Karbonos, which was the promise that the world will not be destroyed again. So the reason why everything in the world exists, man and everything else, is because of Noach's effort of bringing the Korban. So the three stages of the fact that he was a tzaddik, therefore the Russian did not destroy everything in the world, the fact that he took care of them in the table, the fact that he brought Karbonos to promise that there never will be destruction in the future, all mean that they're all here because of him, so he has the right to eat them. So they're not necessarily here for him, which is the language of the Ramban, They're here because of him. So the Rechaim says it. The Malbim comes with a totally different angle. But the human beings were strong. The parents were very, very beneficial, and they gave man everything he needed to live, to function well. The whole world changed. Because I'll say, that, I mean, the Medrash is mind-boggling. The Medrash says that there was no generation who had the ability to live b'toiv like the generation of the Malbim. Says they planted, the Medrash says, in 1 year they produced enough produce, grain, etc., to support the world for 40 years. That's how productive the world was. So there was a different physical reality which exists at that time, and there was no need for Basar. That changed after the Mabul. And we see the example of it, you see the length of man's days. You have you know, Mr. Shalach is 969 years old before he dies, you know. I mean, like, afterwards we talk about Noach and Shem, which were a throwback to the early generations. They still have these very long lives. And you're talking about 180 years, 200 years, 180 years, 120, you know, it's much shorter periods of life. The world changed. Rid Miller's itself says, why, in Parshas Bereishis, when it goes through all of the Saradaras, it says Vayamos. It doesn't say Vayamos in Parshas Noach. He says, in the first 10 generations before the Mabul, the fact that a human being died was like a pella to people. They lived so long and they were so full of vitality, etc. Like, he died? So Torah said, yeah, he died. Afterwards, it was expected they're going to die. It wasn't a kiddush that they're going to die. They don't read it. It says he lived for 120 years. We understand. It means he died after 120 years. You don't have to be a rocket scientist to figure out what that means. If a person lived 120 years, it means he died at the end of 120 years. Right? So, But the Darius beforehand, it was like, what do you mean? The Torah had a stress, and he died because it was like something of extraordinary. And the climate changed. The pasuk talks about kar and chayim. It wasn't there before. The Malbim says they didn't have kar and chayim beforehand. You lived in temperate climates everywhere. We got Marcha Shechayu Kulam Ayirei Noach Shapinusim B'Teva Haika Kinyana Brishusa, and he has the deal with it. He took care of them. They're his. Gam Shalom Lohaya Daim B'Madregas Medaber Rakum Madregas Chai Lahutelai Raka Tzemeach. So he follows Ramban what you ate, but he says that the milas adam, you have a right to take something and move it up on the ruchnius scale. So you have a right to take a tzemeach and make it into a chai. You have a right to take a chai and make it into a madabra. That Milo, that man became a Madaber, the Malbim says, took place with Noach. That he withstood the challenge, and he saw the world as a world of a commitment to Ruchni is under all the pressure that he lived. That's when man was functioning like a Madaber, not like a Chai. So all of them who functioned like a Chai could not eat a Chai, because you're not moving anything up. You all need a Tzemeach. Tzemeach goes up to a Chai. But now, you're raising up the tzemeach into part of being part of the Baal Chai. There's nothing wrong at all with taking a chai and making it into a medaber. So now it's permitted. And that's what it means. The same way I was matter for Adam, Yerk Esav and the Satan is called, Kamoshi, Chonoisi, Mozan, the Balchai, Shechel Yerk Shalesa. Fascinating thought.
Almost sounds like it's a good thing. You're a mylet.
Right. So
you should eat the meat because you're raising it. Almost. I mean, he's not saying it directly.
Not saying it directly, you know. I'll pee the Baal HaChassidus, etc. This is a big thing.
Yeah.
You know, that taking an animal and using it for a mitzvah, using it for a chilo, is being mylet. It's a mylet. It went from being a cow to being part of man. Well, that's you did the cow a favor. Yeah.
Like, I appreciate it.
Well, you know, the problem is not all men are men. You know? There's a maestro with the Baal HaTanya here's the story. You do whatever you want with it. So the Baal HaTanya was going with another Talmid Chacham, raising money for tzedakah. They come to this wealthy person's house. And they walk in, and this person's eating his very luscious repast of meat, etc. And the Baal HaTanya is just like, you know, there's like, has this like look of like he's distancing himself from the whole thing. The other Talmid Chacham is like, what's the issue? So the story goes that the Baal HaTanya passed his hand over the Talmid Chacham's eyes, and he looked and he saw an animal sitting at the table eating an animal. Then he passed his hand again, over his eyes again, and he saw a person sitting there. So he looked like a person, but in reality, the person had lowered himself to a madriga of a behemoth. So it was a behemoth sitting there, it was a cow sitting there with a knife and fork, eating cow. Like, you know, like of course, the Baal HaTanya was like, you know, I don't want anything to do with this. Right? So, yeah, they take the cow, and you make the cow something more than a cow when you eat it with a bracha, and you eat it for the right purposes, and you use it to give you the strength to. So it went from being this physical thing to being part of the ruchnius of the madaber, of the das which comes with that. It went to being a vehicle of das as opposed to a vehicle of physical. That's a milah for it. If all the person does is he lives to eat, so then the chari shouldn't be eating animals. There's a Gemara in Pesachim. Gemara in Pesachim says that the Gemara makes a drush on the post. The Gemara says that an Amoris can't eat meat because it says this is Zoysa Tara l'chol behemav ha'oif. Misha yesh b'teres behemav ha'oif can eat meat. The person not b'teres behemav ha'oif can't eat meat. So Shalot's on the Gemara. So Marsha says, it's with Pasha the Cheshbon. Now they didn't have they didn't have the OU Kashas organization, you know. They didn't have a Mashkiach. You went to the Shoichet and you watched them Shecht. Right? Well, if you don't know the halachas, how can you eat meat? It could be got it all wrong. You don't know whether it was kosher or not. So Mishayesh, Bataris, Behemoth, Oif can eat meat.
Ah.
Person not Bataris, Behemoth, Oif can't eat meat. That being said, there's another explanation, which is a little more of the Kabbalistic form, etc. Right? That this thought process, you know, if the person is learning Torah, which means the person is living his life according to the dictates of the Torah, which means life has a purpose. So, from that vantage point, animals he has a right to take advantage of the Bria to help him facilitate a service. But if the person's not living his life the way he's supposed to, he's living like a behemoth, so what right does he have to eat the behemoth? So I had this conversation once with a relative of mine who does not eat meat, and we had this whole argument, and she was saying it, etc. So I said, you know what, your husband's right, you shouldn't be eating meat. She said, I said, but I could. She says, what's that about? I says, well, hopefully I understand the purpose of the world and I try and spend my life fulfilling the purpose of the world. So in that vantage point, God said, if you're fulfilling the purpose of the world, you have a right to partake of the what the world has to offer to help you to do that. But if you're not looking to fill out what the purpose of the world is, you're not trying to fulfill that purpose, right? So you can't eat meat.
How'd that go over?
Like a ton of breaks. She was not very happy with her. I thought it was a great line. I got a lot of my frustration out of me. Whether it was a good line to be Makarv or not, I don't know. But to get out my frustrations, like, you know, you lost them with the stupid stuff. Anyway, but I mean, seriously, I think that's the true understanding. Whether that was what I should have told her or not is a different issue. But, you know, if a person lives, the goal in life is to maintain the world. So Rabbi Tauber has a beautiful book called Choose Life. Rabbi Israel Tauber has an English book called Choose Life. That's the name of the book. So he says, if you look at the Shevetz of Bnei Noach, all the Shevetz of Bnei Noach are about their maintenance mitzvahs. They're lo sases. Don't do this, don't do this, don't, etc. And there's one mitzvah say, which is to make courts, to judge the people on the six, right? That's they're all about don'ts. So he says the moshe would be the following, right? He says you get on a plane. First of all, it costs money to get on a plane, and you have limits. What you have to stay in your seat sometimes, so you can't walk around, and you know, etc. There's people on that plane which don't pay anything, get to go everywhere for free, and allowed to walk around all the time. The stewards and stewardesses. But they're there to service the plane. The passengers are not there to service the plane. They're there, but the plane should bring and take them to some destination. And the purpose of the trip for them is to get them to that. And while they're on the trip, if they would use the trip wisely, they would be preparing for the final destination where they're going to get to. Since that's the difference between Bnei Noach, which their job is to... there to maintain the plane. So that's, they're given a limited amount of things, and they don't have limits, because, like, as long as they're maintaining the plane, everything's good. Matter of fact, let them go wherever they're doing, wherever they want. But the people which are the passengers, which, I mean, the world is a vehicle to get us from to a different destination, so you have limits. And if you use your time wisely, you'll be preparing for your final destination while you're on the plane. You'll be reading your tour book. What are we going to do when we get there? Right? Right? That's his marshal. It's an awesome marshal. So he says, so the person asked him, so can a stewardess ever become a passenger? He says, yeah, pay for a ticket. That's called Gavers. This is when you're willing to pay the price.
Convert you.
What?
Pay for it. The richer you get, the easier you'll
pay. Right. It's like, if you're conversion. Willing to pay the price, you're a passenger. Now you're not a stewardess anymore. It's an awesome marshal. But you know, but the more is saying that the idea of Vassar was given specifically, like the Malbim says, to take the world and raise it up to a higher level. Well, if you're living in the world, your whole goal in the world is to maintain the world. I believe in, you know, climate change and, you know, conservation and vegetarianism, etc., etc., etc. The whole goal is just to maintain the world. So all you do is live it. You're a stewardess. You're just there to maintain the world. You're not. You have the world has no purpose. It's purpose. So how can you say you're elevating it to the next level? You're not elevating it to the next level. You're the same as the Chai. The purpose of the Madaber is to have das, to understand, to be mavchen, and to choose and make decisions and see a higher value. That's why we Rosh Hashanah of the Madaber. You're not doing that, so why? How can you meet? That's what I understand the Malbim, and you know a lot more words than the Malbim said.
But that means the concept of Madaber is only for Jews, which is that.
No, there's Shemitz and Bnei Noach. Which, I mean,
there's,
I'm not saying
between the Madaber.
Right. There's the
concept of Madaber that applies to all Bnei.
Right. There is a Madrega, you know, they do tzedek. There's different things that they can do that they have lessons of function in the world, which they're seeing a higher purpose just than the physical maintenance of the world. Okay. Rav Hirsch, there's a lot of pages of Rav Hirsch here. I'm not going to read all of it. But Rav Hirsch starts off with this, the fact that there was altered conditions of life. He points out a different place. He says that the climate change, you know, we believe in climate change. It happened 1656. Right? He says you look at, you know, you find they found fossils of these, you know, different things which normally only live in a temperate climate way in the north. He says because once upon a time before the Mabul, the whole world was temperate. And after the Mabul, the Brashman promises there's going to be Kayetz and Charif and Kor V'chaim. There's going to be different types of climates. That was only after the Mabul. So with that change came, like the Mabul says, that now you can eat meat. The same, he says the same idea as he says over here, just one line over here, the Torah demands no vegetarianism. It has no aversion to eating of meat. It even makes it a duty on Yom Tov. If our physical condition were still the original one, probably eating a meat would not be permitted to us, but now it is probably necessary. As soon as we're allowed to eat animal foods, then dietary laws come into place. So even now, for the Ben Noach, you have an Isser every Minachai. And then there's Isser that talks about the union of Dam. And it talks about, then he gets a long piece of the talking about the relationship of Dam. Adam, which if you have a chance to look at it, it's not an easy piece to read. It's very sadistic. It's a beautiful piece. I told you this story once. While I'm at it, we're not going to get to cook tonight. Maybe we'll very briefly. I told you the story Rabbi Kaganov has about this fellow calls him up. He has a halacha shail. He's a ben noach. So he wants to know if there's a halacha. You know, if you halacha by kasher, there's a halacha blius. You know, even if the food is kosher, but if the pot was used for non-kosher food, so you can't eat the food because there's blias, there's absorption into the pot, which comes back into the food. So he wanted to know, does the law of blias apply to Ben Noach?
What?
So where's the relevant? He says, because the law is, we picture like, you know, the guy ripping. The law is, when an animal is killed, as long as the body is still moving, taking any meat off of it is considered every menachai. So if they kill an animal in the slaughterhouse, and before the animal stops quivering, they take off any part of the animal, that meat is Eber Menachai. So he says, so I get meat in my house, he says, which I know that was processed, that they wait. But I don't know when I go to the restaurant whether the meat they're using was processed properly or not. So am I allowed to eat in a restaurant? Because maybe the pots have bleas of Eber Menachai. And now I'm eating my food, which has blias every minute of
time. The Goy asked this question.
He says, he finally came to the conclusion that he only eats treif in.
The Goy,
he eats treif, but he only eats treif in. He doesn't eat treif out.
That's fascinating. Wow.
I just had to tell you that story. The line is a great line, you know.
Fascinating.
I keep kosher in, you know. I only keep treif in, he says. I can't eat out. Anyway.
Actually,
the answer was no, right?
Actually, Rekhagan says he never saw the Shiloh before. He had to research it. It's not clear what the Pasha there is or the Nibli is.
That's
so the guy has the right to learn all of your day to learn the halachas of Nibli.
Wow.
Okay. The Bar Menel says like this. What?
That's a great story.
It's a great story. Like, you know.
Yeah, that's a fantastic story.
The guy was a lamed. The guy was a major lamed. The guy, you know, I see from the some of all the questions that he asked. The Bar Menel, Mike Reed, the Bar Menel says that they pushed the Russian was mad to meat. They didn't know what to eat. There's no vegetation. They came out of the table. Eat what? There was no vegetation. It's a plant. Great. And what do we do until then? We starve. So Russia was not to meet because the Russian promised that they would have what to eat when they came out of the table. Like real Barbanel style. Okay.
Well, the same stuff they ate in the table, they could continue eating out of the table.
Okay, the Russian was mitzvah them to bring enough food into the table to last in the table.
Ran out after a while.
Apparently the Barbanel said that they ran out. Now it came out of the table, the Russian says, okay, now you don't have to eat what you have on the table anymore because that's finished. Eat from the world. Okay.
Sorry.
So the last... and an X amount of pages over here, 8-10 pages I put in, is from this mimer, Chazonot Simchonot V'Hashalom. Okay, so first of all, the people say the quote that Rav Kook was a vegetarian. After you read this piece, you're pretty convinced he probably was not a vegetarian. And I also heard that Rav Kook was a vegetarian. I mentioned the time I said, well, Rav Kook was a vegetarian, wasn't he? I said, as a matter of fact, he was not. There is Edus from his son that he was asked multiple times, and he always said his father did eat meat, etc. He says, yes. In the perfect world of Adam, there was man did not eat. Man did not eat meat. Did not kill. Did not eat meat. He recognized the value of life was so precious to him, even the life of an animal, that he did not do such a thing. There will come a time, Mashiach, after Mashiach, not immediately, but after Mashiach at some point in time, where man will go back to that state. Yes. But man has fallen from that state. And to go to a world where we're going to... So he brings this Gemara, Amar, it's also Lech HaBosser. So, Misha Isaac Batara Behema Mutalech HaBosser. If you're Isaac, Hecha Shechalivas Karech Lavoda Sichlis, you need to have the strength to do the Lavoda Sichlis. For that purpose, the Buster will give you that, will facilitate that, and yes, it's a value, that's a valuable enough of a purpose to allow you to eat meat. That will bring you to a higher madrega. You'll raise the whole world. So for that purpose, where it means you're on the track of taking us back to where we're supposed to go. That's a valid reason to let you eat meat. That's not what he says. But then he says like this. But he calls the Hatter Mashas and the Fela Musaris. When a person is lowered, has lost his moral compass, we sometimes have to make corrections. We have to redirect to be able to get the person on track. Ella Shiroh saw Chachamim Lakiz. The Rosham saw that Adam Nafumi Matzav Musar. He lost his moral state. Until he goes back, she's so get back to that true understanding. That enlightened and happy moments. And also Mila Musar Shalakaras Mishpatam Shabalakhaim Ruya Lakla. She's not there. So Kamisha called Misha Kaivitz Litol Hashem Liskasim Midas Khasidas. Just like any time a person tries to put on a cloak of an action which he's not really at that level, the result is bad. If I try and act on a level beyond where I'm really holding, the result will not be positive. By doing so, you create confusion. So that's the same way that's in any individual level, that's the mankind as one. He says, We have to understand that everybody understands that the first goal is to create a world of justice between man and man. If you're busy worrying about the justice between man and animal, you're not worrying about the justice between man and man. You're taking that you're going to create that confusion, right? It's posh, it's a laugh, it's funny. He's still Tomei. It's like he points, like the Chazir shows he's kosher, he puts out his split hooves. Inside, he's a mess. But I look holy. I have split hooves. So that's man. It's a joke. He's busy. He's worried about being doing chesed b'alechayim. He'll kavar gomer kol cheshbonos imin b'nei adam abruyim b'tzelam malakim. Man to man, we've solved all the world's problems. Everybody's so wonderful to man and man. The only thing we have left to deal with is poshut. Now we have to deal with the animals. Really? He'll kavar hemi hakol alon lachol. Everything is fine. Kavar hemi reshilton or reshav hashaker. We removed all of the evil government from the world. Sin is amim mikinas lomim. The hatred and the jealousy, Avis Gazoyim, the racism, Marivas Mishpachas, Mavia Lahapa Chalolim Rab, which kills millions of people, Lishpach Nanachli Domim, and rivers of blood, Kilokol Elakar Ofsumin Oil, or that's all taken care of. Achein Loisa Hakasida Hanushis Bamali Tzag, if nothing else to do, we'll worry about the animals. It's a joke, it's funny. It's that's number one. It doesn't fit. It's going to create confusion. You're not going to keep your focus. You have to keep focused on. You can't do it. That's what's going to happen. And then he continues on with that that thought. Then he says that the next point. Till we get to the point where we have this clear, this true ingrained clarity of understanding of right and wrong, and we keep it. It's not engraved in our beings. It's not intrinsic to our beings. We're going to have to pick up the lessons. So, therefore, we have to leave off some sections to allow us to go higher. Even though that which we're giving up is something of value, it's kodesh v'niskavu, but we the Barshim chooses, and he says. That's the decision Moshe made, that we need to make this decision. I want for myself. We take advantage. Okay, so I'm not going to eat meat, but I have desires. I have to get something. I have to fulfill them in some way. Right? They're going to be expressed in some way. So he says, at the end of the day, what's going to happen is that not that you're going to necessarily raise up the animals to the majority of man. Is you'll do cannibalism. I won't eat meat, animals, but I'll take advantage of human beings. I'll eat human flesh. He means that physically, but also think it means it's conceptually. The people are into vegetarianism, and that's what their goal in life is. Aren't necessarily morally better people. That they're more careful with all their issues with their neighbors. In many ways, they look at themselves as morally superior, and they have a right to take advantage of everybody else. So what do? You lowered yourself down. You didn't raise the animal up. You lowered human beings down. You have a right to take advantage of other human beings because from your supposed superiority. Okay. Fine. And then the last thing he says over here, which is, the last point is Yud and Yud Aleph. Yud is, this reminds us that we're not animals. We're not the same as animals. We need to have that reminder. And Yud Aleph is a beautiful piece, and we have to finish with that because it's late. I'm going to tell you it over in my own story, in my own words. So I had a conversation once. It tells Yeshiva there was a mikveh built in the dormitory for men. The building was built, at the time the building was built, the Speaker Rebbe, the then Speaker Rebbe's son, who was now the Speaker Rebbe, was learning in Tel Yeshiva, and there was no mikveh available for the men. So Erev Shabbos, they used to have traveled to the city. The Yeshiva was like outside of the city. But during the week, he couldn't go every single day, and Sidon wanted to go, they have a minute to go every single day, etc. So they were building the new dormitory. The Rebbe approached the Yeshiva and said, I'd be willing to pay for the extra cost of construction to build a mikveh. So Yeshiva said, fine, but we're only going to allow the people who have such a masorah to go to the mikveh every day, to use the mikveh every day. And that's the other day. The Erev Shabbos, the mikveh was unlocked, but during the week, the mikveh was locked, and the Chassidish of Bakram had keys. So I guess, theoretically, you could go to one of the Bakram and borrow his key, but, basically, that was... So one time, there was a Bakram who was, older, comparatively older. I was, probably 25, 26. This Bakram was, 20, 21. It's like, what does she care if I want to go to the mikveh every morning? What do they care? Why is the mikveh locked? Being that wasn't his masara, right? He didn't have a key. So I said, a person learns in yeshiva, a person learns musar. One day he wakes up and says, my life is not going the way I want it. I'm not happy. I need to change. So he gets this tremendous, he started his desire to be mitakan himself. So the Yetzer Hara gets very nervous. Because this guy is really serious. So, Lashon Hara, Kashrus, Shabbos, Limud Torah, davening, you know, the real stuff. Yetzirah says, you know, I'm not going to stop this guy. That he shouldn't change something, because that's not going to happen. He's really motivated. So Yetzirah goes to his ear and he whispers, he says, mikveh every morning. The guy says, wow, Kedusha, Tahara, mikveh every morning? Yeah, I'm in. Yetzirah says, Baruch Hashem. He's not worried about Lashon Hara. He's not worried about Kashrus. He's not worried about Shabbos. He's not worried about Limud Torah, davening. He goes to the mikvah. Right. So everybody wants to do better.
That's interesting.
Right? So he says the nature of man is, you find even the lowliest people rise to occasions once in a while and do good things. He says, so in a world where animals are animals and man are man, so when he rises to the occasion, what does he do? He does chesed with man. He rises to his responsibility to other man. In a world where you have vegetarianism, so what does he do? He tramples on man and he rises to the occasion by being nice to the animals. So that's what's going to happen, because that's exactly what the Yetzer Hara will do. Yetzer Hara will take this true desire for growth and misdirect it to something which is not where he's supposed to be focusing, knowing that he can't totally take it away from him totally, because that's not going to happen. He guides it to something else. He says, and that's what that, and it says, and you see this. He says, you see these people which are these people which are totally lowlifes visit the other man, and they're nice to their animals. And you look at it, like, you know, I mean, you know, the example which we think is you know, the Nazis, Yimach Shmon, right? They, you know, think about it, but we don't have to go there. I mean, I think in our society, you see this happening all the time. I mean, I should put this on record, but I mean, I don't know if everyone. I'm not, you know, just putting out the following Ha'ara. Explain to me this midah of caring for everything in the world to the point that you're upset tremendously about the cruelty to animals. So the idea of eating an animal is horrible, and you're okay with killing fetuses. Explain it to me. That's this piece. Then you can, you know, it bothers you to the point that you're willing to destroy people's lives because of it. Explain it. There's multiple examples of it, and this is the society in which we live in. Like, he's writing this, you know, 80 years ago, 190 years ago, and he's describing our society. The society went off the deep end. You know, that don't dare touch an animal, but human beings, you can trample over whatever you want. And this is what he's describing. I can't believe after reading this piece, he's saying, yes, there was a madrega of man which we shouldn't need these things, but this is the reality. And if we try and fool ourselves, this is not where we're at, the results are going to be a mess. And that is what we're seeing. So that's why I was very interested to hear that, you know, Alfred Cohn, who's the editor of the Journal of Halacha and Contemporary Society, has an article about vegetarianism, and he puts in a footnote that he did, he researched and he was able to get aedus from the cook's son that his father ate meat, which is very misnomer to me. After you read this piece, I can't imagine he would say, "Yeah, this is," but I'm above it all, and I can handle it. I can, you know, like, no, he's not going to do that. It's just not him. That's not him. It wasn't the person that he was. He's a person that, you know, I recognize I have frailty and it's dangerous and I'm not going to do it. I can't say I'm above it. How could he say that? He's saying he delineates four concerns which we have that for mankind in general, that they're going to be confused by doing this. How could he then say, but I'm okay? It's not an option. So I think there's a lot of... When Noach was given the head to eat meat, it was because we needed to redirect man's focus. Man spent 1,500 years just chomus, right? So we need to retrain you on what it means treating other, how you deal with other men. And don't you dare make your focus about animals. Ray Frank just shared with me a statistic, which he's mentioning in his Shabbos piece. So don't say it over yet. He says he just read this statistic. One in every 11 Americans is a shoplifter. Is comfortable taking something from a store without paying for it. 1 in 11. You want to do the math what that means?
A lot of people.
All right? There's 350 million. All right? It means you're talking about there's 40 million people in this country right now which are comfortable taking things which aren't theirs. Right? That's a mind-boggling number. We live in a society which I don't respect somebody else's rights, but I do respect the rights of animals. So,